Buffon, and then Ronaldo! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia!
Ramel Kyoto now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Elbert Elise! La Panterita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
Austin, Texas, we're on the air. Soccer Matters here on the Horn. Thank you for tuning in here tonight. A great show in store here. HornFM.com. That's where you can stream the show. Also, it's where you will get the podcast of this show as well. As always, I'm your host, Glenn Davis. Thank you for tuning in. You can hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock. And over on Facebook, Soccer Matters, we're talking about all kinds of differing topics, from the Premier League to La Liga to Serie A, football all over the world, to football in Houston, Austin, all the Major League Soccer markets. Get over there. Facebook, Soccer Matters. We want your opinion. So tonight, a great show for you. We will have Austin FC president Andy Lochnane on the show. He will give you an update on a number of different things, from a training facility to stadium, to sporting director. So a lot of good stuff tonight with Andy Lochnane. We appreciate him coming on the show, representing and being the president of Austin FC. We will also talk to a former Barcelona assistant coach. His name, Albert Roca, was a right-hand man for Frank Rijkaard at Barcelona when they rebirthed the club in the vision of Johan Cruyff. And this was the Rijkaard era that won a 2006 Champions League before Pep Guardiola took over the team. The stars on that team at the time, players like Ronaldinho, Samuel Eto'o, and a very, very young Lionel Messi. So this is a great interview tonight. We'll play part one of Albert Roca tonight. He's also managed the national team of El Salvador as well, and then would go with Rijkaard after Barcelona to places like Galatasaray in Turkey and the Saudi Arabia national team. So it's a man with a lot of wealth and experience when it comes to the world of football. But right now, we'll start it off, and this show is presented by DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. DaspitLawAustin.com. Let's go to Austin Statesman, freelance soccer writer, Chris Bills. A lot of interesting stuff here with Chris. Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, Glenn. Love the work you do over there in Houston, and now a little bit over here in Austin as well. Look forward to seeing more of you over here in the Capitol.
Well, that's great. We're enjoying the show being on here, and I've always liked Austin as a soccer market and been going up there for years. So let's just start with you, because, you know, you are a writer for the Austin Statesman. You've covered the game in a number of places. Just for my listeners and maybe even for your readers, tell us your soccer background.
Yeah, so I grew up in rural Ohio, which not exactly a soccer hotbed, but kind of played early growing up, and then left the game like so many do to play other sports and things, and then fell back in love with it in high school, a little late to play at any kind of high level or anything, but kind of became obsessed throughout college. Learned a lot through covering the teams there and the Division II level, and then following worldwide and MLS. Actually interned with the Columbus Crew in 2013, and then landed a job out in Missouri, covered Sporting Kansas City a little bit, came down to Austin, and all of a sudden MLS was poking around, and I've been kind of wrapped up in that story since the beginning, since October of 2017, when we found out that MLS might be coming here. I've been covering the Bold and a little bit Texas Longhorns as well. And of course, Austin FC as things continue to ramp up here toward the 2021 season.
Well, let's get your thoughts on Austin FC, because I know you've written about a lot about them. There's just an incredible buzz going on, supporters, groups, stadium. How about your feelings on where the club is, their entree into the market, and what their possibilities are?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a really interesting story to follow from the beginning. Like I said, seeing the city's initial reaction, and now just the soccer culture that we all know is here in the city, and the interest that there's been in season ticket deposits and things like that. Everything seems really positive. Of course, Anthony Precourt and the ownership group, a lot of eyes around MLS on them to see, you know, what kind of product they're going to be able to put on the field. So far, Josh Wolf, the first head coach, I think, as you know, Glenn, somebody who was, eyeing opportunities and going to get a chance somewhere. Now he gets a chance with, a first-year franchise in 2021. It'll be really interesting to see what kind of roster they build. But as far as the market itself and the excitement, I think it's growing and growing every day. I think it's going to be a big deal here in this city and, excited to kind of be part of covering it and, see how things take off here.
Are you seeing, visible change every day? I mean, do you see more Austin FC hats? Do you see more things in the news now that it's getting ramped up and it's getting closer and time is passing and, things, the ground has been broken on a stadium and all these other different things that, Lord knows how Andy Loughnane and company are going through all this. It's just incredible to start this thing from scratch, but it has been pretty amazing. Do you see visible signs?
Yeah, absolutely. Just yesterday I was at the grocery store and saw another Austin FC shirt. See them almost every day now of people, in places where you wouldn't think at first it was just kind of the MLS 2ATX gear, right? And now to see people wearing, the Adidas gear that they're picking up from, online, whether it's online or Dick's Sporting Goods or whatever. I think people are excited and you start to see it more and more.
Talking to Chris Bills, a freelance writer, writes a lot about soccer, Austin Statesman. It's exciting times. I don't think there's any question about that. Let's talk a little bit about the Texas Longhorns, because that's where you and I met, and I'm really glad you came up. Yeah. And I had the opportunity to get to meet you. So you do cover Angela Kelly and Texas's team and Julia Grosso, the Canadian international and company. Do you enjoy the women's game as much?
Oh, absolutely. I love the women's game, love the excitement. Of course, Austin was the number one market during the Women's World Cup, and FC Austin Elite, the team in United Women's Soccer that plays here as well, had a chance to cover them over the summer. Kind of a short, abbreviated season, but the things they're doing are great. Had a game out at Bold Stadium, and were able to put over 1,000 in the stands for that. And, of course, Texas, has been a team I've had a chance to cover more of this season, and they're on an exciting run. 3-1 start, lost over the weekend against West Virginia in overtime. That was a really tight battle. West Virginia took it to them in the second half, but it's been exciting to see this young team grow. And, of course, with the stars of Haley Berg, Sierra Hinson, and, as you mentioned, Julia Grosso, who, as we're talking here, is still, I think, on her way back from Japan, playing with the national team there as she tries to make the Olympic roster for Canada. So, a lot of exciting players, but also the young ones like Maddie Dorsett, who's been an everyday starter. And, it's been a fun season to see this team grow and see what they're going to accomplish here in the Big 12. So far off to a good start, still in first place.
Yeah, and Texas is hoping Julia Grosso will get back sooner as soon as possible, because they're back in action this week on Friday. It's again Big 12 play, and it's very, very important for them at this point of the season to do well in the Big 12, which is always so highly competitive. Anybody can win on any given day. That game will be on LHN tomorrow night.
We've definitely seen that so far.
Yeah. We need to get the, it's great to get people out to Mike A. Myers. By the way, the other thing about Austin FC is their supporters group, the Austin Anthem, have been out there, supporting Texas soccer, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I was just talking to a few of them the other day at the game on Thursday night about just how loud they're getting, how many more songs they're adding, and kind of adding a soundtrack out there to make Mike A. Myers that's missed when they're not there, some of the Sunday games that they haven't made it. But I know Angela Kelly has talked about how much they're enjoying having that kind of international soccer flavor, more of a soccer atmosphere, in the stadium. And it's giving the Anthem a good chance to ramp up, their songs and continue to practice ahead of, what's going to be, I think, a raucous atmosphere, hopefully, up there at McCalla Place. But good to see them out of the Longhorns games for sure.
Talking to Chris Bills of the Austin Statesman. We're talking about Austin soccer here, Austin Anthem. out at Texas soccer games. We've talked Austin FC. We've talked Texas Longhorns. I want to take you into what was an incredibly shocking and saddening story, and that was Promise Isaac of Bold FC, the Nigerian international, and the fact that he just passed away so shockingly, so unexpectedly. How has Bold FC been handling all this? And I just can only imagine that people are just still in a state of shock.
Yeah, it was devastating news to wake up to on Thursday morning. Of course, Wednesday night, the sudden passing of Promise Isaac, who was living at the apartment complex that so many on the team live, and had what appears to have been a heart attack while working out at the gym, and never got up. And it's just devastating news for everybody, especially once you started talking. And I had a few chances to interact and talk to Promise Isaac while he was playing for the Bold, but the impact that he made on those around him was really, you know, obvious once I talked to them. And just a really family-oriented guy. His family, he had a wife and three kids who live in Atlanta, and was flying back and forth to see them actually 4 weeks before he passed. He went and flew to Atlanta for his daughter's birthday, missed a match, and I think that kind of speaks to the kind of person he was. It was always family first and man of faith, and just very sad. And of course they had their game postponed against Rail Monarchs. That's been pushed back to Wednesday, October 16th. They'll play, they've got three games left as we're talking now, to try and make the playoffs. They need 2 points, I think, out of those three matches to make the playoffs. So they'll need to refocus, but of course, keeping Promise Isaac in their minds and their hearts as they head into the last part of the season.
Yeah, our thoughts, condolences, prayers to Promise Isaac, his family, and all those associated with him, and the fans of the Bulls who
well,
got to know him.
The reaction from around the soccer world was just overwhelming, really. Promise Isaac played for the Nigerian national team, of course. He was the captain of that 2008 squad that won silver at the Olympics, and played in Turkey and Saudi Arabia, just saw a lot of tributes from around the world. Just wanted to mention that real quick.
Yeah, ran into a great friend of mine, Sam Mbonu, at the Houston Dynamo game this past weekend, and we were talking about Promise Isaac, and he told me a number of things about him as well. So the Nigerian community here, which is very strong in Houston, is fully aware of this. The press and the future in Austin, what do you see? What do you see once Austin FC gets rolling? You know, are you going to be doing pieces that are star building? Do you see more critical thinking when it comes to articles and critiquing teams and tactics and coaches? Because we do seem a far way off from that kind of stuff when it comes to mainstream media.
Yeah, it feels like it, doesn't it, Glenna? It's interesting to watch the way that MLS has grown and kind of the challenge that you know, they've had getting media coverage. But I think that Austin FC is coming in at a time in 2021, when they get off the ground. You know, you've seen the coverage that Atlanta United has gotten, the LAFC has gotten in Los Angeles. And I think there's going to be an awareness, especially around Austin FC being the first professional team in the market. You know, I've talked with my bosses about hopefully, you know, getting on full time here and really, you know, doing this thing big, holding this team accountable, you know, seeing what they can build and telling the story, going along for the ride, you know, hopefully home and away, and you know, covering this like a major league sport that it is. I know it's always been, you know, a goal and a dream of mine to cover a pro soccer team in that way. So looking forward to seeing what the next few years bring.
Chris, as we know, Austin, Texas, when it comes to athletics, it's all about UT athletics. My good friend Craig Way has been a voice of the Texas Longhorns forever. We know how embedded it is in the community. The fact that Austin FC will become the first professional team there, do you think that then makes it an obligation that mainstream media covers them and covers them well?
Yeah, Absolutely. I mean, I think so. Of course, I'm, as you are, Glenn, I'm interested in soccer and seeing the game grow in general. But this is Austin's first major professional sports team, and not only that, but not everybody that lives in Austin. Of course, we've got 100 and some people moving here every day. Not all of them went to the University of Texas, and I think this team's going to kind of capture that audience in a way that that the Longhorns haven't. So that's going to be really interesting to see, and to see, you know, just that level of interest. Of course, you know, driven by media coverage, but also we have an obligation to cover the things that people in our communities are interested in. And I talk to people every day that are wanting to know what's going on with this franchise, you know, what's going to be happening, you know, what the new stadium is going to look like and all that. So I think that we've got an obligation as a media to give them that kind of coverage and hold them accountable in that way.
Well, Chris, thank you very much. You know, every time I walk past the Austin Statesman's building, when I cross over on South Congress there, now I'm going to be thinking of Chris Bills, a soccer writer.
Thank you, Glenn. I appreciate it. I always love seeing you when you're over here for the Longhorns games, and I'm sure we'll run into each other a few more times before the season's over. But I really appreciate you having me on, and keep up the good work over there in Houston. And, just really appreciate it.
You'll see me out there tomorrow night. Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you for spending some time with us, and we'll do it again in the future.
Sounds good, Glenn.
So a big thank you there to Chris Bills. Some interesting stuff there, because the coverage of press in Austin, I'm thinking that the mainstream media, as I asked him, will be pushed a little bit more, because not only is this an international city with an international soccer team, but it's also a city that does not have a professional sports team, as we mentioned, and that in itself, you would think mainstream media is going to be obligated to cover this team along with that behemoth that we call UT Athletics. All right, we're going to take a break here. Before we go to break, though, this show tonight is dedicated to Promise Isaac, the player for Bold FC, Nigerian national team member. We lost him shockingly at such a young age recently. And again, we spoke about that in the interview with Chris Bill. But the show tonight is dedicated to the Austin Bolds, Promise Isaac, the former Super Eagle. We'll take a break when we come back. It's part one of Albert Rocha.
You're listening to Soccer Matters, presented by Daspit Law Firm and DaspitLawAustin.com. Here's your host, Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters here on the Horn in Austin, Texas. We roll on here tonight. That big thank you there again to Chris Bills of the Austin Statesman. Now we're going to roll on to Albert Rocha, the former assistant coach at Barcelona, also headed up La Selecta El Salvador's national team. Albert Rocha has a very, very deep dossier when it comes to the world of football. Here is part one of Albert Rocha. Albert, when did you decide to move on from a playing career to a coaching career?
Well, it was a long time ago, I think, you know, because for sure, you know, I'm my degree in physical education, and after that, okay, I've been also in the past professional football player, and I have decided, you know, perhaps 20 years ago, when I was tired to be a physical coach, and I thought that it could be good, you know, to make a step forward. So, and yes, it's like this, it's easy and natural, I think, you know, it's something that it was in my mind all the time, and that's all. It's natural.
We're speaking to Albert Rocha. He was an assistant with Barcelona when they won the Champions League with Frank Rijkaard. Also has been the manager of La Selecta, El Salvador. Your biggest coaching influences, because we all get influenced by certain individuals. Who were your biggest coaching influences, Albert?
For sure, Frank Rijkaard has been not just a friend. It has been my master. Because, you know, it's because him, you know, he gave me the opportunity to assist him in Barcelona. So, yes, and he had the philosophy and the methodology of Ajax. That, you know, that Barcelona and Ajax that have always been really close to each other, you know, these clubs. And they have more or less the same methodology and the point of view of a football, you know. So it was good, you know. From there, you know, it was just working hard, you know, on that. And I suppose that we had some successes there in Barcelona, you know, because you know, all the people that we were working on that, we had the same idea.
We're talking Albert Roca, played at Real Zaragoza. You know, when you move from the second division to Barcelona, I mean, this is a big opportunity, right? How did it physically happen? I mean, did one day Frank Rijkaard say to you, I would like you to be my assistant? How did you make the connection with him? How does that happen? Because I think that's interesting.
Yes, we were just playing both together, you know, in Zaragoza a long time ago. So, yes, for sure, no, we had a good relationship. And when he came here in Barcelona, he thought that I could, you know, make a good work for him and for the team. So he decided to call me and he proposed me that. And for sure, you know, I have accepted quickly.
Why did it work so well between you two? I mean, obviously you knew each other, you trusted each other, but there has to be other things to make it work, right? What else made it work so well?
Yes. I mean, it's he knew, so because we have talked a lot, you know, about football, about the way that we are just seeing the tactics, you know, and how we work. And he knew more or less, you know, how I could, you know, be involved in his technical stuff. So easy. I mean, I had decided, you know, for sure, you know, to join them at the beginning of his period, you know, of his project. And it was easy from the beginning because both we knew each other, and I think what he demanded of me was what I have used to work, you know, in my past. So not so difficult for me.
But he pushed you, right? He pushed you to do the work. What were some of the responsibilities he wanted out of you,
for
Albert?
Sure. You know, you have to accept the responsibility is much bigger. It's much bigger. And it's a step that sometimes, you know, we have to do. But just to be in front, you know, Ronaldinho, Messi, all these big players, you know, makes sometimes, you know, at the beginning was a little bit, you know, a shock, you know, for me. But then after 1 week, you know, I felt really, really comfortable because, you know, players are human beings that they try, you know, to make for you the things easy. And from there, you know, I think, you know, my work was good, you know, and I felt really comfortable with this group.
We're talking to Albert Roca, assistant coach at Barcelona, also went on to manage El Salvador. He's got an extensive background in coaching. We're going to get into some of his other stops as well along the way. A typical practice session, would Frank be running the practice session? Because it's so different over here in the United States, and sometimes the manager really is involved in the training sessions. Some step back and let others take over. How did that work at Barcelona at that time with Frank Rijkaard?
Well, it's what I said to you, you know, before. I mean, the philosophy of Barcelona is very similar to the Ajax. So these clubs are always trying to push on tactics, you know, in every single session. So, yes, from that, you know, we have worked hard in just in order, you know, for sure, you know, try to change a little bit the results that Barcelona had until that day. Because remember that Frank Rijkaard has come when Barcelona, you know, had a period of 7 years without no titles. So it was a question of, for sure, you know, to change the methodology and try to change everything, the mentality of the players to for sure, you know, to become better. And it's what we have worked on from the first day. So tactics is so important in our point of view, because we know that from there, you know, the team can grow up. And it's, our focus, it was always there, you know, the next game, and how can we, for sure, you know, improve our tactics and how to for sure, to have more chances to win the game.
Was Frank the type of manager that would take the practice session and be the main, you know, voice out there, or would he sit back and instruct his assistants how to run the training session?
Yeah, I mean, it's always the same, you know, schedule. I mean, we have just to have meeting before, you know, the training sessions, to be really sure what is our target in every single session, and to work, because, you know, football here in well, most part of the, for sure, the countries, but Barcelona plays, you know, a game almost every 3 days. So it's difficult. So we have just to employ, and we have to prepare much earlier, you know, how the other teams are playing, how we can just face these situations. So, yes, I mean, we have, for sure, meet, you know, a lot of people really well coordinated by Frank. And I think we did a very good job, and we did our best in order, you know, to have good results. And finally, I think we succeed, you know, with the Champions League and also with the two leagues, Spanish leagues. So, yes, happy for that.
So that's part one of Albert Roca. We're going to air part two next week. And again, this show is presented and brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. Again, DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, their personal injury attorneys, are going to bring you a personalized approach, bilingual, by the way. So if you get in a car accident, motorcycle, boat, industrial, construction, you might work in a plant, the Daspit Law Firm in Austin will have you covered. Again, it's DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. And hey, a reminder about tomorrow night. The Texas Longhorns taking on number 18 Oklahoma State as the NCAA women's season here in 2019 continues to accelerate. This is a Big 12 matchup. This is a big game for the Longhorns in the big picture here of 2019. So get over to Mike A. Meyer Stadium. Beautiful surface. It should be the return of Julia Grosso, the Canadian national team member as well. And by the way, we've seen the Austin Anthem out there doing some nice support for the Texas Longhorns women's soccer program. So sit tight. When we come back from the break, it's time to talk to the president of Austin FC, Andy Lochnane, in the house.
Here at the Horn, we give you back to Soccer Matters, presented by Daspit Law Firm. Here's your host, Glenn Davis.
All right, final segment of Soccer Matters here on the Horn tonight. We're going to go out in big style here tonight. We're going to talk some Austin FC. We've got their president, Andy Lochnane, joining us right now. This interview brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. They are bilingual. Andy, thank you as always for taking the time out to come on the program.
My pleasure. Thanks for having us on.
Well, a pretty simple opening question here. How about just updating us on everything Austin FC right now, which is pretty fresh? I know you got a lot of balls you're juggling.
Yeah, I guess that's the fun part about the stage of our life cycle that we're in. There's a consistent amount of activity. So, I mean, I think in no particular order, as we think through all the things that are happening right now, We're now a couple weeks into our construction timeline, which everything is running smoothly thus far. So we're moving dirt. We are, excavating. We're going to begin drilling soon. There's quite a bit of work that's already been done. And, again, great news. Everything's on schedule for a spring of 2021 open. So from a construction perspective, that's super important. As we think about, you know, we've got another construction project that we've teased and talked about a little bit before, but the St. David's Performance Center, which is our training facility, we have not yet announced the location for the training facility, but I'm pretty confident in the next, let's call it 30-ish days, we'll be in a position to share the location in St. David's Performance Center. And then, you know, construction on that project will begin in the near term as well, and with the target of that first-class facility being open sooner rather than later as well. So two big construction projects are one underway, one soon to be underway. And then we've got all the fun stuff related to our season ticket platform. And, you know, we've, since you and I would have last connected, we've since eclipsed the 38,000 seats under deposit number, which it's a great signal that there's continued interest in getting in line, so to speak, for our season ticket platform. And in the near term, I'd say in the month of November, we're going to begin to pivot from the process of just collecting deposits into the process of beginning to convert some of the people who have made deposits into full season tickets. And it's a pretty systematic process. We start by selling the premium products first. Those are things like our field seats and our loge boxes and some of the clubs. And it's a systematic approach. And ultimately, we then move to more of the general seat products. And those are a couple months away. But systematically, we'll start to move around the stadium and begin to convert deposits into season tickets. And that whole process takes about 6 to 9 months. But it gets us finished, once done, well in advance of the start of our 2021 season. And I guess then other fun things that we continue to work on. We've got an ongoing process as we begin to get ready for our first sporting director, so key soccer ops hire in addition to Josh Wolf. That's something that we continue to say we anticipate being able to bring that person on between now and February of next year. And we've also working on a couple of other commercial things like our jersey partnership and stadium naming rights partnership. And those are a few of the things we got cooking.
That's only a few, huh? One thing I did go over and I took a look before we got on here to do this interview and took a look at, man, it's incredible how much dirt has been moved and you can see something forming there. It's crazy how fast this process kind of gets going.
Yeah, and you can check it out. We've got a construction cam you can access through austinfc.com to see the daily progress. It is amazing how much clearing has been done. You know, also, you can start to see the formation. It's not easy to describe north-south over the radio, but if you take a look at the construction camera and you're looking sort of north to south, you'll be able to see there's a pad that's been laid, which is actually the start of the supporter section. So one of the first things that will be erected will be the supporter section, which is symbolically pretty cool. So great to see the progress. Great for all of us that everything is on time for a spring of 21 open.
Andy Lochnane, Austin FC president, joining us. We're talking some stadium things here. And if also you want to get some another look at the stadium, you can obviously come to the Experience Center in your offices, correct?
Yeah, so our Experience Center is up and running. Pretty soon when we go into this process of converting deposits into season tickets, it'll primarily, if not exclusively, be by appointment only. So it's one of those situations where if you haven't made a deposit, it's not too late. Either $50 or $100, all deposits are fully refundable, and it establishes your place in line. I do think at this point, given the trajectory of our deposit program, there's a likelihood that our deposits will convert, and we're going to have some people who end up on a wait list as opposed to being able to buy season tickets. I think that's that feels like an inevitable outcome. That said, it's not too late to get on that deposit list.
Austin FC President Andy Lochnane joining us. I want to go back to soccer ops. This is a huge job. It's a very important hire. It's one that I know you guys are meticulously going over. Can you give us some detail when it comes to how many people applied for this job and what are some of the key criteria that you are looking for? And obviously, I'm sure Josh Wolf has a big hand in this as well.
So I think most people probably who either have an understanding of our organization or how we will operate probably would know. First of all, I'm not the decision maker on our sporting director's side. So the audience can take great comfort knowing that my expertise will lie outside of soccer. So thankfully, I guess there's a committee that has been formed that takes a look at candidates. And I guess I can't get into all of those attributes. I'd love to, and maybe something more fun to do after the fact. But what I can tell you is that, and this is kind of consistent with all of the roles, including those on the business side, there is a tremendous amount of outreach from candidates, and in cases of, you know, sporting directors, there's agents who reach out to us. So as it turns out, people love Austin. People love the idea of launching a new team. And I do think that, you know, as we imagine, Josh Wolf would be a magnet for interested parties. Josh has an impeccable reputation as a leader, as a character, individual, somebody with the highest amount of standards and work ethic. And, you know, those are the things that are attractive to parties. And on top of that, you know, Austin as a market is a very attractive concept. The league is attractive. Glenn, what I can tell you is we've had international intrigue. A healthy number of candidates have had interviews. I've had plenty of phone conversations with people overseas, out of the United States, in addition to some inside of the United States. So this is a global search, a global game. It's a global process, and we're in the thick of it right now.
Andy Lochtane joining us, the Austin FC president. Just taking you back to the training facility, is this a place where the idea is going to be that the academy will be there, whatever ultimately becomes your reserve team? Is that kind of the idea behind the training facility, to have that crossover sort of organic connection between all the levels?
That is absolutely the game plan for the St. David's Performance Center. So for a club that has as much ambition as we do, part of our ambition is tied to our academy programming. And today we operate one academy program, and the academy program is interimly based out of St. Stephen's. And we are, we'll begin the process of transitioning over to St. David's Performance Center for the entirety of our academy. And that means that they'll overlap with the first team once we've got a first team operational. So, it's part of our core DNA to integrate academy into all of our first team experiences and lifestyles. And just the ability to familiarize themselves with that process is something that we believe is a good part of the growth trajectory of a young athlete into a professional athlete. I think most clubs have similar aspirations. Not all clubs have the facilities to accommodate it in the same way that you might if you have enough fields, enough space for the two to overlap. So it's our objective for the two to overlap.
Yeah, that's exciting. There's so much organic crossover there that can occur, and for assessing players, having it all in one location is pretty remarkable. I do want to take you back to the stadium because, you know, you are the third Major League Soccer team in the state of Texas, and you guys are going to be the first to have a stadium, you know, which has roofing. And we all know how important that is for fans to be comfortable, and that has been a challenge in Dallas. That has been a challenge in Houston, no question. This is a big investment, and when I think of this, this is pretty amazing. And I just want you to go over again, because I know I've asked you about this, just how that works, how much shading there will be, how much research goes into that. And then obviously you did tell me that, you know, you are going to have to do some things with the natural surface as well.
Yeah. So as you highlighted, it's important for us to create shading opportunities. And one of the ways that you do that is with a roof investment. And you know, I think one of the great outcomes of us being the third team to enter the state of Texas in Major League Soccer is that we've had a chance to see some of the designs and stadia that have preceded us. And the investment we're making in the roof is a significant chunk of the $250 million stadium budget. The roof itself will cover 100% of the seats in terms of, you know, blocking inclement weather. The sun itself will see the field. One of the things that having a roof does is it limits some of the day parts when the sun does touch the field. So as a result, You know, we're going to, you know, and if I didn't mention this already, we're going to invest in grass. We believe that the sport needs to be played on natural grass. So we're going to have grow lights and a pretty significant investment at that in grow lights to operate the grass field inside of our well canopied stadium. But that canopy is in place for a reason. It provides coverage, ultimately does provide shading opportunities, and we believe that a cooler stadium is something that needs to be an essential ingredient. And incidentally, it's not easy to accomplish, especially with a stadium that, you know, isn't fully enclosed with air conditioning. So we have some conditioned spaces. We have some spaces that are blocked from the sun at all day parts. We've got spaces that are going to have special seats that that allow for breathable for the air to breathe through the seats, and which reduces some of the heat impact on a seat itself. These are technologies that are now available. We're grateful they're available. We're going to make some investments in particular, you know, as we need to on some of the seats that might have a greater access to the east, or seats that are on the east, which sometimes see sun a little bit more. So what I will tell you is that our stadium is being designed with features and benefits that take into account Austin's love of being outside and also the need for climate control and comfort. And you know, I didn't mention the corners are open, which allows for natural circulation of air, which is something that, you know, quite frankly, you're not seeing that significantly right now in Houston or in Dallas in terms of that airflow circulation. So we think that's a distinction that will improve airflow inside of the stadium.
Andy, last one before I let you go. And I come up with Austin a lot to do, not only on occasion the radio show live from up there, but also Longhorn Network soccer games. And I do see visible signs of the momentum and jerseys and articles and things. Are you sensing, as someone who's there on a daily basis, are you sensing the momentum now continuing to build even more now that dirt has been moved and other things are starting to come a little bit closer here as time moves us towards 2021?
Yeah, and, you know, and of course the momentum is here, and I think what we've done is we've had a chance to measure activity in terms of deposits. We've had a chance to measure activity in terms of, you know, World Cup rankings. We've had a chance to see our supporters grow in their ranks. We've had a chance to see sponsorship interest. Everything seems to indicate that there is growth and increased interest. And I think that, you know, it's a testament to the market. It's a testament to our supporters. It's certainly a testament to the league and the sport. And everything at the moment is pointing in an outstanding direction, and it's up to us to not take it for granted, continue to grow our roots inside of the community, continue to advocate on behalf of the sport, on behalf of the league, and on behalf of the club. And we will take nothing for granted, but I think we're in a position right now where we're very pleased with the way that this community has embraced Major League Soccer.
Well, you know, I saw Gary Clark Jr. playing up there the other day, and I yelled up to Gary in front of 2,000. I said, "Gary, where's the Austin FC jersey?"
And?
No, I'm just kidding. I don't think he could hear me because he was just whipping off some tremendous licks over at that great barbecue place puts on great concerts.
When we actually have a jersey, which won't be, you know, until before the 20, you know, shortly before the 21 season, he's a pretty good candidate to wear the black and verde.
Oh, he would look good in it because he is one heck of a guitar player. As always, Andy, thank you so much for coming on the program. Really enjoyed this visit. I hope this is this will be, I know, very interesting to all the Austin FC fans.
All right. Well, it was a pleasure talking Austin FC. Thanks, Glenn.
Thank you, Andy. That's Andy Lochnane, the president of Austin FC. Dirt being moved, you name it, it's happening. The momentum, I feel it when I go up there. It's awesome. That'll do it tonight for Soccer Matters on the Horn podcast at hornfm.com. Don't forget that. A big thank you to Sam Pica, our producer, and back in Houston, Andrew Carlson. And just remember, as we leave tonight here, we thank John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm for their support of getting soccer on the radio. 512-865-6710 is John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLawAustin.com. Car accident, boat, motorcycle, 18-wheeler. They will have you covered. They'll work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. Nobody wants to get in accidents. We don't want you to. But when you do need representation. Facebook, Soccer Matters. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock. Thank you, Austin, Texas, for listening tonight.